In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to his dear Christians, the model congregation in Thessalonica, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're meditating on those verses read before in the second lesson, 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 to 10. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you, we hope. Amen. What power then, O sinner, will lend you its aid? It's the last judgment today, but in the past weeks, we've been considering this whole thought about coming home and welcome home to the Lord's house, our home here with God's family, looking forward to our home in heaven. We talked in the first week about our need for Christian community, and last week, under the new covenant, you are free to be yourself. So today we look at that last day with this understanding of God's pure grace and mercy, that you are perfectly safe here in God's house, in God's word, in Christ, our only Savior. So we're looking at something that most people don't want to think about. They either ignore it or try to excuse it or pass it off as something else. You've maybe tried to talk to people about this before and just run into hardcore unbelief, and it seems like it's getting harder and harder. But I find it such a blessing that God is so kind and merciful, just knowing how our natural reaction is going to be. It's really true for all of us that we push back on that when we first hear it, because that's our sinful nature, but the Lord just keeps coming. Like the Old Testament, he kept on sending the prophets to warn and to call people back, that remnant that would be saved, even in Jeremiah's time, the Lord our righteousness, trust in him. So we're here with the Lord our righteousness and his kindness again today too, to be given this assurance in the face of the last day that you are safe. You're safe, first of all, because God's judgment is right. Safe because God's judgment is right. People are very disturbed right now, as you know, about what is coming on the earth. You hear a lot of talk about it from people that are just terribly afraid that the world will not survive another couple decades. Even though we cannot predict the weather next week or next month for sure and accurately, we cannot stop earthquakes, house fires, wildfires, tornadoes, hurricanes. It's out of our control. And yet, somehow, if we just have the right science and pass the right laws, we're going to be able to save the planet. Did they miss the rainbow? That rainbow promise that the Lord put there after the flood to tell Noah how distressed he was as God to have to destroy everybody like that. He says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from childhood. That's just the way it is. I will never again destroy the world with water. You watch for that rainbow. And he puts it up there again and again to remind us of his promise from Genesis chapter 8. As long as the earth endures, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, cold and heat will not perish from the earth. In one of Peter's epistles, he says, they deliberately forget that God destroyed the world by water the first time, and so they don't want to think about the coming fires of the last day. We're here to remember. In our God who just doesn't want us to forget, he keeps on reminding us over and over again so that we're ready and prepared for that day. Such a blessing not to miss the Lord's promise. Not to miss what he actually says about the only one who can control the wind and the wave. Did they miss the Son of God standing up in a boat on the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee when the disciples, the fishermen, are all trembling in fear? Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? He's sleeping in the boat. And what does he do? The Lord Jesus stands up and he rebukes the wind and the wave. He's the Creator God. He has control. Silence. Be still. And there is a great calm. And he takes them to their place where they were going. There's a reason to be concerned, even as knowing the Lord, but I would rather listen to the one who with his voice can actually control the wind and the wave, not next month, 30 years from now, but now. Because he said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 28, let me just read this, and this will kind of explain what we're seeing, not just in the climate, but in people. It's all predicted. Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth nations will be in anguish, nations in anguish, and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. People fainting from fear and expectation of the things coming on the world. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's not going to work the way everybody expected up there in the powers of the heavens. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But you, when these things begin to happen, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near. The same one who said, "Peace be still," to the waves is the one who paid the only redemption price that would wash away your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world, the only innocent blood there ever was. No one can by any means redeem the life of another, for the ransom for a life is precious. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. But there is one, the Holy One, who by his innocent death and shed blood washed away the sins of the whole entire world. We talked about it in Bible class. God does not discriminate. He calls us all to repentance. But he has also put us all alike under sin so that he can have mercy on us all. To the point that before Jesus came, he was actually holding off the judgment of the sins committed beforehand so that he could punish them on Christ. Those who ended up in hell in Old Testament times was because they rejected the same Messiah through the Jewish people set right at the middle of the world at the time and scattered throughout the world with that message of salvation. God is merciful, and he sends his people to tell the story. You shall be my witnesses. He said that through Isaiah in the Old Testament. Go tell. Tell them what you know about the coming Savior, and those who listened, they're in heaven now. Those who rejected, that's what he's talking about here. Same Savior, same gospel, same awesome wonder of God's kindness and mercy. And then everybody wants to blame it on God, whatever bad things happen. You know how that is. They, you know, why, if he's a God of love and he's really got that much power, why does he let it go on and on the way it does? Not paying attention, I guess, because you know the answer. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 and 10, the Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. He's giving us time for you and me to speak up and spread the word as his witnesses, but for people to repent as much time as possible, the best circumstances as possible. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat, and the earth and what was done on it will be burned up. The shock of the Twin Towers on 9/11 just basically melting as the steel inside just succumbed to the flames and the heat. Nothing compared to what he's describing here with the elements melting in fervent heat. And you know the answer. You have the cover of the redemption of Christ our Lord. I don't know if you've seen pictures of that, or maybe you got curious as I did, these fire blankets that the firemen wear. They were only good till about 500 degrees, and then I think it was in 2013, a wildfire out in California, a bunch of volunteer firefighters died, deadliest fire since 9/11, they said. But they then went back to NASA and came out with some better foil beyond Mylar, I guess, that it's good till 3,000 degrees. But you know, if you're a firefighter and you and I had to fight a fire, we would need the training necessary and somebody to tell us, you crawl under this thing in the middle of a fire and you'll be safe. Because it saved a lot of lives. Those fires come like firestorms. And they've actually made these backpacks with these blankets in them so that, I don't know if they push a button or whatnot, it deploys and it wraps itself all around the firefighter and they just huddle down until that ball of fire just rolls over them and it's gone. That's Christ. That's your blanket. That's what covers you. In Christ, you are safe, and you don't even have to push the button to deploy because the Holy Spirit is right there to cover you up with the blanket of Jesus Christ, and you are safe in Him. This is what the gospel is so sweet. You keep on reading those passages. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It covers you. That's the judgment of God, the judgment that is right. This is evidence of God's righteous verdict that resulted in your being counted worthy of God's kingdom for which you also suffer. You accepted the backpack. You said, okay, God, you say this will save me. This is what I'll take then. And I'll wear it with joy, even if people make fun of my backpack. It's Christ. It's what I need. It's what we were really looking for in our sermon last Sunday when we talked about the new covenant. Remember that? Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Not like the old covenant I made with my people at Mount Sinai because they broke my covenant though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I will make with my people after those days, he says. I will write my law on their minds and on their hearts. And there's one stipulation, and there's no if. It's all on God. I will forgive their guilt and I will remember their sin no more. That's your blanket. God, I'm guilty. I just came and confessed it again today. You realize how insane that is? If you listen to the prayers of people in the world's religions and the work righteousness out there, they don't say that when they come into God's presence. They're all talking about, I've done this and that. We come and we say, yeah, I've done this and that, and it's all wretched. It's all evil, and I deserve your wrath and your punishment. I just said okay to God's law. And why can I do that? Because of his gospel. You and I know what's coming. We are going to be told again, this is all forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. Grace is like this huge blanket that God spread over the whole wide world and all the sinners. But unbelief keeps pulling it back or throwing it off. I don't want that. I don't need that. But you believed it. I believe it. That's a gift of God. That's his tremendous blessing of faith. He finds you. He gives you the covering of the backpack. He gives you the heart to receive it. And that's evidence that God counts you worthy. He made you worthy in that verdict that your sins are forgiven. If you only memorize one passage from the Bible, do memorize the one stipulation of the new covenant. I will forgive their guilt. I will remember their sin no more. And get this one too. Some of you know it by heart, but we just have to give that verdict now because it talks about the verdict in John 3. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But go on. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but the one who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the basis for the judgment. The light has come into the world, yet people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. But the one who does what is true comes toward the light in order that his deeds may be seen as having been done in connection with God. The good in me to thee I trace. We come into the light of God's mercy because he calls us out of the darkness of sin and unbelief. And he says, just let me tell you what the verdict is. Forgiven, whole, righteous in God's sight. So if anybody asks you, are you righteous and perfect? You can say, in God's sight, I certainly am. In myself, no. But in Christ, I am. That covering, the Kapporeth, you remember the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place and the mercy seat of God, the covering and the angels above spreading their wings, and God lived above the mercy seat, and on the great day of atonement, the priest would sprinkle the blood on that altar. So God, looking at the Ten Commandments inside that box, was looking through that blood that pointed ahead to John the Baptist saying, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is no curtain here. It is wide open to the altar of our Lord that reminds us of his presence. And we put his body and blood here to receive in the Holy Covenant so that you will again have that assurance that you are covered and forgiven. Not fear the last day, but look forward to it with anticipation and do everything you can to be the Lord's witnesses to tell them now, because they'll hear. And by the miracle of that same gospel, many will believe. We leave the results to God. We have to. It's a miracle that any of us believe. But he says, you are safe because God's judgment is right, and in Christ God's justice is on your side. The verdict is in your favor because of Jesus. And because you believe God's word, you receive that. So he says, certainly it is right for God to repay trouble to those who trouble you and to give relief to you who are troubled along with us. I mean, this is the other side of the gospel. You wonder why people get so mad at Christians? You know, it is really irrational. It was irrational way back then. It's irrational now. I mean, what did Jesus ever do except kindness and love and mercy and miracles and raise the dead and heal the sick? Everything that we're supposedly supposed to do, he did. And everything we are absolutely supposed to do before God, he did in kindness. Why would they hate that? Well, Jesus said, they hated me first. They'll hate you too. You become a Christian, you have a target on your back. You don't always see it, but pick up your cross and follow me, he says. It is what it is. They hated me, they'll hate you too. And the flip side is, the reason they're so irrational and angry is sometimes they get it better than we Christians do. We don't like it this way. We know that God wants everyone to be saved, and we want everyone to be saved too. You might ask, what about the people who haven't heard? And God would say, what are you doing to tell them? How are you supporting the missionaries? How are you telling that word near and far? What are you doing? And praise God, you can say, yes, Lord, we are busy at it, but make us more fervent, more eager, more able, more earnest in proclaiming that word of life and leaving the results to you. Because people need to hear. The flip side is judgment of condemnation on those who receive God's own Son. And why not? When he comes, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his powerful angels coming in the clouds, he will exercise vengeance in flaming fire on two groups, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They don't know God because they reject the evidence. We're surrounded by evidence that the Creator is wise and powerful. And the conscience screams that he hates sin. And God says the whole world is held accountable because they're supposed to take that information and seek him and find out who he is, though he is not far from any one of us. Paul said that in Athens. In him we live and move and have our being. Seek him out. He wants to be found, but some won't. They don't know God by their own choice. And the other group is those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That gospel says it's Christ alone and Christ is all you need. This, unfortunately, is people who think you have to add to Christ. Bible class, we talked about the spirit of the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. More merit from someplace else. Anything that replaces Christ, whether it's a different prophet or different merits and worthiness from something else or someone else, that's deadly. Those are the ones who do not know the gospel or obey the gospel of Jesus Christ that says trust in him alone. So you may know people that walk under the banner of Christianity like that, and you wonder, what shall I say to them? You know, their church keeps on piling the work righteousness on. I'd encourage you to talk to them about their baptism. What does that mean, that we are covered with the righteousness of Christ? If they're receiving the blessed sacrament, talk to them about what that means, that we receive the body and blood of the Lord. Encourage them to go and at least hear the scriptures read and receive the blessed sacrament and the blessing of our God, because that word can save them too. Many of them will tell you, I don't trust in the Pope or some other prophet or anything like that. I trust in my Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And you encourage them. Stick with him. We'll see you in heaven. Awesome blessing. Talk about Jesus. Get them to the cross, because that's all that will count on that last day. Such people that reject God, he will finally say, your will be done then. There will be a just penalty, and that's eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from his glorious strength. On that day when he comes to be glorified among his saints and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. It's just such a miracle, and you and I ought not forget that when we've worked hard as a congregation to reach out, and some of you making those calls, and you're speaking up at work, and you're trying to help relatives, and it's just so frustrating sometimes. You don't know, and sometimes the Lord doesn't let us see. Not this side of heaven, but his word is powerful, and it will keep on working. He wants us to earnestly make the effort and leave the results up to him. To use what you have and what you know. And that's little kids too. You know what you know about Jesus, and you can tell about Jesus to your friends that won't come to church or Sunday school with you. You keep trying. We had some neighbors like that years ago, and they came maybe once or twice to Sunday school, and then their parents started coaching them about how they could answer our invitations. We could tell that those answers were not coming from kids that age. But there was a tactic, and this was not even thought of by the parents. We found out later that our oldest daughter was taking her Sunday school stories and going to the tree fort next door and having Sunday school with these kids. Children aren't the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. And that was the witnesses of Christ witnessing there. And the word is spreading and growing. You will hear stories about people that grow up and they remember those conversations from kids in their neighborhood. Salvation, you're safe. You're safe in Jesus our Savior. There was a pastor who grew up on the prairie. When the wildfires come, there's no place to run. And so they used a controlled burn around the ranch house or the farmhouse in order to burn away the fuel so that everybody could run to that spot. And when you were in the center of it, it was far enough out that even the embers, which are more dangerous than the flames themselves, would land where there's no fuel and not burn them up. And this is where you would invite your friends and family, everybody come here, this is safety here. That's really what this is all about. We trust God's word that that day is coming. Why is it taking so long? Well, part of the answer is it's nearer now than when we first believed. And it's nearer now than when he first predicted. Be ready. Keep inviting. Keep taking the law and burning back those areas to get that, and the gospel too, to make it safe around where you stand. And stand solidly on the Lord Jesus Christ, because here in Christ alone, you are safe. Amen.